السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، عما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربي زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to do ayat 70 to 75 of Surah Al-A'raf today. We'll start off with the word meanings, beginning with ayah number 70. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قالوا, they said. This comes from the word قل, which means to say, and this is in the plural, third person, and it's in the past. So قالوا, they said, أجئتنا. In the beginning is used for asking a question, so it means did. جئت. Ja'a means to come, and ta means you. So ji'ta, you came, na, to us, li, so that, na'buda. Ibada is the root word here, and that means worship. Nun in the beginning is the pronoun meaning we, so na'buda, we worship. So li, na'buda, so that we worship Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wahdahu. Wahda means alone. This comes from the word wahid, which means one. So wahda, alone, who, he, or him. Wa and nadhara, we left. Noon in the beginning means we, and dhar means to leave. So nadhara, we left. Ma, whatever. Kana, was, or were. Ya'budu, worshipped. Ya in the beginning tells us that this word is in the third person, and ibd comes from ibada, which means to worship. So ya'budu, they worshipped. Aba'u, and because of whatever is coming up next, this word ya'budu becomes plural. So worshipped. Aba'u, forefathers. Na, ours. Fa'tina, fa, so, or then. And then adi is the root word, and that means to come. Na, us, be, with, ma, what. So in English, instead of saying, so come to us with whatever, it makes more sense to say, fatina, be, means, so bring to us. Okay? Whenever the word ati is followed by ba, it means to bring. So fatina bi, so bring to us, and then ma means whatever or what. Ta'iduna. This word comes from wa'da, which means a promise. Ta in the beginning means you. So ta'idu, you promise. Na, us. And in this case, it can mean you threaten us, because the prophet was the messenger was warning them about something. In, if, kun, are, or were. Ta, you, min, from, as-sadiqeen, those who are truthful. Sidq is the root word here, and it means truthfulness. Sadiq is somebody who is truthful, and ina ending makes this word plural. So as-sadiqeen, those who are truthful. Qala, said, he said. Qad, in fact, waqa'a, it happened or occurred. Alay, upon, kum, all of you. Min, from, rabbi. Rabb means Lord, creator, master, sustainer. Kum, yours. Rijisun, filth or punishment. Wa, and ghadab. Ghadab means wrath or anger. Atujadilunani. Is used for asking a question in the beginning, so it means do. Tujadilu comes from the word jidal, which means to argue or dispute. Da in the beginning means you. So tujhe dilu, you all dispute ni with me. So atujhe dilu na ni, do you all dispute with me? Fi in or concerning asma'i names. Sammaytumuha, which you all named them. And sammaytumu comes from asma as well, which meant names. So sammaytu, you named. And sammaytumu, you all have named, ha, them. Meaning the names. Antum, you all. Wa and aba'u, forefathers, kum, yours. Ma, not. Nazala, he sent down. Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be, with, or of, or for, ha, it, min, from, sultan, any authority, or proof. Fantadhiru, fa, so. And then nadhir means to look and wait. So fantadhiru, this is a command, and a lot of people are being addressed when this is said. We know because it ends in vowel letters. So you all wait. Inni. Inna means indeed. And then ya at the end means I. So inni, indeed, I. Ma'a, with, kum, all of you, min, from, al-muntadhirin, those who wait. Al-muntadhir means somebody who waits. And ina ending makes this word plural. So al-muntadhirin, those who wait. Fa, so, anjayna. Nijah means to save. So anjay, saved, na, we, who, him. So fa anjaynahu, so we saved him. Wa and alladhina, those who, ma'a, with, who, him, be with, rahmatin, mercy. Minna, min, from, na, us. Wa and qata'na, qata means to cut. Na means we. So, qata'na, we cut. Dabir, root. Alladhina, of those who. Kadhabu, they be lied. This word comes from kadhiba, which means a lie. So, kadhabu is a verb. It's in the past tense and it ends in vowel alif, so we know this is plural. So, kadhabu, they be lied. Be with ayat, verses, or signs, na, ours. Wa and ma, na, kanu, they were. And this word is also in the third person and in the past and plural. Kanu, they were, mu'mineen, believers. This word comes from iman. Iman means faith or belief. Mu'min, adding a meme to the beginning, makes this word a noun. And that means a believer. And ina ending makes this word plural. So mu'mineen, believers, or ones who believe. Wa and ila, towards. Thamuda, thamud. Akha, brother. So this is the same as akhi, which means brother. Akha, brother, whom theirs. Saliha, salih, alayhi islam. Qala, he said, ya qawmi, ya au qawm, nation or people. And the gusra underneath the meme means mine. So ya qawmi, O my people. U'budu, you all worship. Ibada means to worship. And this word is a command. And he's addressing a lot of people when he says that, because it ends in vowel. So u'budu, you all worship. Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma, not. La, for. Kum, all of you. Min, from. Ilahin, any god. Ghayru, other than or besides. Who, him. Qad, in fact. Ja'at, came. Kum, to all of you. Bayinatun, bayina means a clear proof. Min, from. Rabbikum, rabb means lord, creator, master, sustainer. Kum, yours. Hadihi, this. Naqatu, a she-camel. Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning a female camel from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La, for. Kum, all of you. Ayatan, a sign. Fadharuha, fa, so. Dhar means to leave. And Salih alayhi islam was speaking to his whole nation when he said this. All the people, so he said dharu, which means he's commanding a lot of people. This is plural. So fadaru, so you all leave. Ha, her, meaning the she camel. Ta'kul, she eats, or it eats. Ukul means food. Ta'kul means she eats, and or it eats. And it's a verb. Fi, in. Ardi, the earth. Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ardi, earth. Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa, and la, do not. Tamasuha. Mas is the root word, and that means to touch. Ta in the beginning means you, and the masu ends in vau sukun. The alif is dropped because there's a suffix that's added, but we know this is plural. So the masu, you all touch, ha, it or her, be with su in, any evil or bad. So the masu ha bi su in, to touch her with evil means to harm her. So wala, and do not the masuha bi su'in, harm her. Okay, to touch her with evil or harm her. Fa, so, or consequently, ya'khudh. Khudh means to take. So ya'khudh, it will take. Kum, all of you, adhabun, a punishment. Aleem, one most painful. And note that in this ayah, in the beginning when we said wa ila thamuda, and toward thamud, akhwahum saliha, their brother sali, it means, and towards thamud, the people of thamud, was sent their brother sali alayhi islam. Now back to ayah number 74. Wadhkuru, wa, and udhkuru, do dhikr, which means to remember. And this is a command, it's plural, addressing a lot of people because it ends in vawalik. So vadhkuru, and you all remember, if, when, ja'ala, he made, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made, kum, all of you, he appointed all of you, khulafa'a. Khulf means behind, right? It means to come behind. So khulafa'a, successors. Min, from, ba'di, after, ayadin, ad, wa, and bawa'a, he settled completely. Now, the word sakana also means to settle, but bawa means to settle in a place, in a way that somebody really wants to be settled, exactly as they want to be. Okay, so bawa'a, he settled completely. Kum, all of you. Fi, in, al-ardi, the land or earth. Tattakhidhuna, you all take or make. Khudh means to take. Da in the beginning means you. Una ending makes this word plural. Tattakhidhuna, you all make or take. Min, from, suhuliha, suhul, plains. And sahal means ease, right? So suhul means plains or land that doesn't have mountains. So it comes from the word sahal because it's land that is soft. It's easy to live on. It's easy to plant things there and to move around on flat or land that is not too high. Okay, that it's not too hilly. Doesn't have mountains. So suhuli, plains, ha, it's kusuran, and the it refers to the earth. Kusuran, palaces. This is a plural form of the word qasr, which means a palace. So kusuran, palaces, wa, and tanhituna. Nahat is the root word, and that means to carve stones. Ta in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. So tanhituna, you all carve. Al-jibal, the mountains. This is a plural form of the word jabal, which means a mountain. So al-jibal means the mountains. Buyutan, as homes. This word comes from the word bait, which means a home. So buyutan, as homes. Fadhkuru, fa, so udhkuru, you all remember. This word comes from dhikr again, which means to remember. Ala'a means favors, blessings, bounties. Allahi, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa, and la, do not. Da'atho, you all act wickedly. Atho is the root word, and that means to be evil. Ta in the beginning means you. So ta'atho, you all act badly. Fi in al-ardi, the earth, mufsideen. This word comes from the word fasad, which means corruption or mischief. Mufsid, adding a meme to the beginning, makes this word a noun. So mufsid means somebody who spreads corruption. And ina ending makes this word plural. So mufsideen, ones who spread corruption or mischief. Qala, said, al-mala'u, the chiefs. Al-ladhina, of those who istakbaru, they acted arrogantly. They assumed greatness. Kibar is the root word, and that means to be great. And istakbaru, the is in the beginning means to ask for, to seek. And the waw alif in the end tells us this word is plural. And this is in the third person and the past. So istakbaru, they assumed greatness. Min from, qawmi, people, he, his, meaning the qawm of Salih alayhi salam. Li, to, alladhina, those who. And whenever we see the word qala, which means said, that somebody is saying something to somebody else, and then li means to, alladhina, those who. So we can't, it doesn't make sense to say, and the chiefs from among his nation who acted arrogantly said for those who were considered weak, right? It makes more sense to say the chiefs from among his nation who acted proudly or assumed greatness said to those who, right? So li in this case makes more sense whenever it's followed by the word qala to translate to two. So li to alladhina, those who. Ustudaifu. This word comes from the word da'if, which means weak. And ustudaifu means that they were weakened. They were made weak. Okay? That they were not weak, but they were considered weak. Li for man, whom. Amana, believed, min, from, hum, them, a, do. And again, the a is used for asking a question. Ta'lamuna, you all know, you all have ilm. Ilm is the root word, and that means knowledge. Ta in the beginning means you, and una ending makes this word plural. So, ta'lamuna, do you all know, anna, that, salihan, salih, alayhi salam, mursalun, one sent, or as a messenger. Rusul means the ones who are sent, and mursal, adding a meme to the beginning, means one who was sent. Min from, Rabbi, Lord, creator, master, sustainer, he, his. Qalu, they said. This word is in the third person and it is in the past and plural. It ends in waw alif. Qalu, they said, inna. Inna means indeed. Nun alif in the end means we. So inna, indeed we, be with, or in ma, wa, ursila, was sent. And ursila is in the passive form. So ursila, was sent, be with, he, him. Mu'minun, believers. Iman is the root word, and adding a meme to the beginning makes this a noun. Mu'min means a believer. And una ending makes this word plural. So mu'minun, ones who believe. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll start the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. In the last few ayat, we had started learning about the people of Ad and how they responded to Hud alayhi salam's invitation to only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he told them to remember the favors of Allah upon them so they could succeed, qalu, they replied, ajitana lina'budu Allah wahdahu, have you come to us so that we should worship Allah alone? ونذر ما كان يعبد آباؤنا. And we give up those whom our forefathers used to worship. They asked Hud al-Islam if this was what he demanded. To them, this was such a big deal, as if it was so strange to worship only one God, to only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to leave all the other idols that their forefathers had worshipped. They couldn't even imagine giving up the ways of their forefathers, which included remembering others along with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The idols they had taken were their awliya Allah. Okay, the ones they consider the close ones to Allah. And even today, some people actually think that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that his remembrance is incomplete until they mention the awliya of Allah, meaning the saints or pious people. Astaghfirullah. So they asked Hud al-Islam if he wanted them to stop doing the dhikr of their forefathers who had been pious. They said, فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِيدُنَا. Then bring us what you are threatening us with. إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. If what you say is true. They were so ignorant in saying this. They actually dared Hud al-Islam to bring about the punishment if he was true. They basically challenged him and said to incur the torment if he was right, to bring it. Qala, he said, so Hud al-Islam told them, قَدْ وَقَعَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ رِجْسٌ وَغَضَبٌ. In fact, you have already incurred the filth, meaning the punishment, and the wrath of your Rabb. Now, we must keep in mind that Hud al-Islam did not just say this the next day or right after they challenged him. Everything is listed here briefly, as if one thing happened after another. So it may seem like it happened quickly, one after another, that he did da'wah, and they rejected, and then he told them what this ayah says, that they have already incurred the wrath. But that's not how things happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only tells us the important points. So it may seem like they happened over a short period of time, but they didn't. We must remember that Hud alayhi salam kept trying to call them to the right path for a very long time. They kept rejecting and asked how he expected them to only worship one Allah and leave all their idols. And eventually, Hud al-Islam told them that if they wanted punishment, it would happen. أَتُجَادِلُونَنِي فِي أَسْمَاءٍ سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ. Do you dispute with me about mere names which you and your forefathers have invented? They had made up the names of their idols themselves, coming up with false beliefs that one of them granted them sustenance and that another idol granted them children and another one removed difficulties from them, and so on. They made up all these things, saying that each of their idols was responsible for one particular task. So their beliefs were very similar to Hinduism now. Their forefathers had named some of their idols, and they named some others themselves. مَا نَزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ, for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed no sanction. Hud al-Islam told them that there was no proof whatsoever that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave for what they claimed. He never told them that someone besides him would give them one thing and another would give them something else. He never divided up these powers and told them that, oh, this one controls this and that one does this. Astaghfirullah. Some Muslims actually commit shirk in a similar way even now, and they call out to saints, the pious people of the past, for some of their needs instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They call out one particular one for the weather, another one for rizq, sustenance. So they have come up with these weird things, and they don't even realize that they're committing shirk when they do that. In fact, they don't even know that they're doing anything wrong at all. But they must remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not order people to do this. He sent no proof of anyone else who can grant anything to people. When it comes to religion, we must always look for proof before we blindly start doing anything. Check for proof to see if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in fact ordered us to do something or not. So when someone asks us why we do something, we should have proof and know for sure that we're doing it because Allah ordered us to, not just because our elders used to do it. If we're blindly following our forefathers in religion, or just listening to people around us randomly without verifying that they're telling us the truth, without any proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do something, it's not acceptable. So the criteria for doing anything in the name of religion is to determine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do it or not. And if He hasn't, we shouldn't be doing it. Some people falsely claim that Khizr alayhi salam controls the wind storms, but that is not true. How can they say such things and claim that it's a part of religion? Allahu Akbar. فَانْتَظِرُوا إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُنْتَظِرِينَ. So wait, I too will wait with you. Hud alayhi salam told them to wait for the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that the punishment they had asked for would come. And he said that he was waiting as well. فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِنَّا. So we saved him and his companions by our mercy. Just as we had learned with Nuh alayhi salam, we find out that the people with Hud alayhi salam who were spared were not his friends or his neighbors or relatives. Instead, it was the believers with him whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected from the punishment. He arranged for their protection first, and then وَقَطَعْنَا دَابِرَ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. And we cut off the roots of those who denied our revelations. They were annihilated. Now, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that He cut off the roots of these people? This is mentioned repeatedly about these nations that were destroyed. And this is because the root is what grows to become a plant later on. Likewise, the root or the children of their nations would grow up to be like them when they got older. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wiped out each one of them, even their offspring, so that the root of shirk is cut off. None of their descendants remained. They were all wiped off of the face of the earth. No trace of them remained. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to seize people for their sins, not even one of them is left behind. وَمَا كَانُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. And they did not become believers. They weren't believers. This was their fault, for which they were punished. They rejected the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they failed to believe. So faith or belief is a great treasure. And from the example of Nuh alayhi salam and Hud alayhi salam, we find out how the messengers struggled so much to carry out their mission, the work they were assigned to do. They remained steadfast in trying to fulfill their responsibility. And from the example of their nations, from what they did, we learned that only those who accepted the truth, which was the invitation to believe in and worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, were the ones who succeeded. And history proves that the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does strike those who do not accept the message. It comes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us among the believers, and may He protect us from all kinds of punishment. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Next, we'll learn about the people of Thamud. Salih alayhi salam was a prophet sent to guide them. So sometimes they are called Qawmi Salih, or the nation of Salih alayhi salam, also because of their connection to him. Thamud was their actual name. Their nation lived close to Nuh alayhi salam and Hud alayhi salam as well. And so did the nation of Lut alayhi salam and Shu'aib alayhi salam that we'll learn about later on, inshallah. They weren't too distant from each other, but Egypt is on the other side of the sea. So we know that Musa alayhi salam and his people that we're going to learn about lived far from them. And we can keep that in mind when we learn about them, inshallah. They lived on the other side of the sea. But the rest of them, Nuh alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, and Shu'aib alayhi salam all lived on the other side. And that's where their nations lived. Thamud was the name of the grandfather or great-grandfather. This is where the nation got its name from. This nation came to this world about 6,000 years ago in the area called Hijr. They were the descendants of the righteous people from the people of Ad, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had saved with Hud alayhi salam. When the punishment struck, these people were the pious companions of Hud alayhi salam who were spared because they believed. But as time passed, their offspring became the people of Thamud. They lived in northwest Arabia, and their main city was called Hijr, and it's also called Madinay Salih. And this nation is called Adi Thani as well, because they were similar to the Ad people. Just like the people of Ad, they were experts in construction. And secondly, they were from their offspring. So they are called Adi Thani, meaning the second Ad, or Ad part two. And the third reason why they were called this is because they were also very wealthy. And they were really strong and brave. They were experts at carving out homes in mountains and in building palaces. They were very skilled in this field. In fact, the things they built are still around today. There are Thamudi inscriptions on them of their script in their language. Now, let's find out what happened to them. وَإِلَى ثَمُودَ, and towards ثَمُود, أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا, their brother صَالِح. This means that for the people of ثَمُود, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected their brother صَالِح alayhi salam. He was one of them. He was not an outsider. He was born and raised among the Thamud, and he belonged to their nation. He was from them. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ, he said, O my nation, O my people. And this is the same thing that the past messengers had said to their nations when they addressed them. The message that each messenger conveyed to their people was the same. Since the very first day, since the source of that message has always been the same. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah had sent this message for people. So صالح عليه السلام said to his people, يا قوم اعبدوا الله, O my people, worship Allah سبحانه وتعالى. ما لكم من إله غيره, You have no other God but him. قد جاءتكم بينة من ربكم. In fact, a clear proof has come to you from your Rabb. The clear proof that came to them was the miracle of the she-camel. We don't learn about any such miracles being witnessed by the past nations that we have studied. Meaning the people of Nuh alayhi salam and the people of Hud alayhi salam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a miracle to the people of Thamud. Now, let's find out about this nation. Salih alayhi salam had started inviting them to Tawheed, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Since the time he became a young man, he had been inviting them. His people used to commit shirk, and that's why he told them to worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he told them that there were no other gods except for him, because they used to associate partners with him. He kept inviting them to Tawheed for a very long time. The people of Thamud normally lived to be about 300 to 600 years old. So they had really long lives. Salih alayhi salam had started to invite them to Tawheed when he was a young man, but they still had not listened, even when traces of old age appeared on Salih alayhi salam. His people were really fed up with the message that he kept trying to convey all throughout his life, since his youth. So at last, now that he was getting old, they plotted to ask him for something they thought he couldn't do. They thought that they would tell him, after challenging him, that he couldn't do what they requested, and that's why they won't listen to him. So they demanded something they thought would be impossible. They said to Salih alayhi salam, if you are the messenger of Allah, then make a she-camel come out of that specific mountain. And they mentioned the mountain where they wanted the she-camel to come out from. And they said the camel should be 10 months pregnant and it should be very healthy and strong. To this, Salih alayhi salam replied, if I fulfill this demand of yours, will you accept my dawah, meaning my invitation to the truth? They told him that they definitely would, because they didn't think it was possible to bring out a living thing from a mountain. They had asked for the mountain to split and a camel to come out of it, because they thought that it would be impossible. Salih alayhi salam prayed to nafil salah, and he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he invoked Allah, he said, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not difficult for you at all. Fulfill this demand of theirs. As soon as he made that dua, the mountain suddenly shook forcefully. A big part of it split, and the she-camel came out of it exactly as they had asked. This was such an amazing miracle. So some people became Muslim. They became believers right away. As for the rest of the nation, they had planned to accept Islam. They had planned to believe, but a few chiefs of their nation, the special caretakers of the idols, prevented them from doing so. They kept them from accepting the truth. When Salih alayhi salam noticed that his people were not fulfilling their promise and punishment might strike, he tried to advise them. He cared for them so much. He was very kind. So he told them to protect the camel. And he said not to hurt it in any way, so they may possibly be saved from that punishment which would strike right away otherwise. He warned them that the she-camel was a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they should leave it alone, and they should let her walk around, grazing freely on the earth. It had been sent at their request, so they shouldn't harm it. So the bayyina mentioned in this ayah, the clear proof, is the she-camel. That was the clear proof, the miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salih alayhi salam told his people that they had received a clear proof from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadihi naqatullahi. This is a she-camel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this didn't mean that it was some special camel that belonged to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead, by connecting it to Allah, saying that it was his, was a way of honoring it, showing respect for it, since it was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is similar to the way we call the Kaaba Baytullah, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not live there. We call it Baytullah, the house of Allah, out of respect. So we connect it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that it belongs to him. So this is how this she-camel was called Naqatullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's she-camel, because it was a miracle from him. Lakum ayatan, as a sign for all of you. The she-camel was clearly miraculous. Fadaruha ta'kul fi ardillah. So leave her alone to pasture on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's land. The earth did not belong to them. The earth belonged to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Salih alayhi salam told them to leave her alone to graze freely on the earth. He advised them to let her eat from any house or land that she wanted, but she should be left free. وَلَا تَمَسُّوهَا بِسُوءٍ, and do not touch her with bad intentions. He told them not to harm the she-camel in any way. فَيَأْخُذَكُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Then a painful punishment will seize all of you. He warned them that if they tried to harm her, they would incur a painful punishment. Why? Because the she-camel was a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had already made a huge mistake by not believing when they saw that clear sign. So now he told them that they shouldn't even think about harming it. They would be disrespecting the sha'ir Allah, meaning the signs of Allah, if they heard it. If they didn't let it graze freely and leave it alone to be safe, it meant that they had no respect for the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them a clear miracle. So they were told not to cause any discomfort to that camel. It would be like harming the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After Salih alayhi salam warned them, he advised them, وَذْكُرُوا, and remember, إِذْ جَعَلَكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ مِنْ بَعْدِ عَاد, when you were made the heirs of Ad. The people of Ad had been wiped out, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them their successors and granted them comforts and so much wealth. They were so successful in this life. Their surviving forefathers from the people of Hud alayhi salam had basically started from scratch after the punishment, and they had become so successful according to worldly means due to the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he granted them. Their forefathers were not punished with the rest of their people because they were pious and they were believers, but from them came such evil offspring that we're learning about here, about the people of Thamud. This shows us the importance of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our offspring and asking Him to keep us and our offspring steadfast on deen till the end. Think about what we learn from the examples of the nations that we're studying. From people who were so firm on Tawheed, who were so steadfast, from them came disbelievers and polytheists and sinners. So whenever we make dua, we shouldn't only pray for the iman of our children, we should also pray for the iman of all our offspring, all the generations to come. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep them steadfast on deen, so none of them dies as a disbeliever. وَبَوَّأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and He completely settled you in the land. Salih alayhi salam reminded his people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them settle in a place exactly the way they had wanted. He didn't just make them settle anywhere. He settled them in an ideal place. This was a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Salih alayhi salam asked them to remember it. تَتَّخِذُونَ مِن سُهُولِهَا قُصُورًا. You all make palaces from the plains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them capable of building mansions in the valleys. He taught them how to do it. He gave them that skill. Also, it was easier for them because of the large expanse of land, because of the plains. وَتَنْحِتُونَ الْجِبَالَ بُيُوتًا, and you carve out the mountains as homes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them the ability to carve out amazing homes in the valleys. They were capable of building such magnificent architecture that is still around today. The wooden homes we live in today last for about 100 years on average. But the homes that were built by the Thamud are still around even after 6,000 years. Subhanallah. Just imagine how sturdy their homes must have been that they still exist today. This means that they had knowledge of architecture and they knew civil engineering and math to be able to figure out the measurements properly. And they knew how to construct. Think of how civilized they must have been that their construction still exists today. Even though thousands of years have passed, they made so many advancements, even though they lived so long ago. So the two things listed here that they did were that they built palaces from plains, which meant that they were really wealthy, obviously. That's why they built palaces. And they carved out complete homes in the mountains with rooms and even ponds. Imagine how beautiful they must have been. There's nothing else we can compare to their construction. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded them of this favor through Salih alayhi salam. So He told them to think about all this. They were granted so much wealth and so many skills. Whenever people are able to build anything, including stunning, monumental architecture, they should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, instead of thinking that they accomplished something great or they did such amazing work. Why should they do that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave them that talent and the skills. The tall buildings and bridges that we see around us today were built by people because of the intellect and the material Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided them with. If He had not granted them this favor, they would never have been able to construct these things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this is a blessing, the intelligence and the material to build architecture are favors of Allah, because He tells them to remember this favor of Allah on them. So whenever we see beautiful architecture, we shouldn't just think about people who built it and think that, oh, they were so intelligent. We should think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and recognize it as a blessing upon the people who were able to construct it and enjoy it. It was a favor of Allah on them. A great blessing. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the intellect, the knowledge, and the talent that He gave mankind. A lot of people think that the signs of Allah are the sky and the earth. And they think that the architecture around them are the signs of people, the construction that they see around them. But this ayah should help us understand that the construction we see around us, the things people have built, are the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Because He granted people the skills to make these things. So we shouldn't just look at the people who built something and praise them and be impressed by them. Instead, we should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who granted them the ability and gave them the material to use to make these things. فَذْكُرُوا أَعْلَى اللَّهِ. Therefore, remember the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, let's figure out what the benefit of doing that is. When people remember the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on them. When we recognize that something we have is a favor of Allah, we remember the one who granted us that favor or blessing. So the favor helps us remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should count our blessings, keeping in mind that He is the one who gave us each one of these things. Each one of the blessings we have. And when we try to remember His favors, we realize that we enjoy countless favors that He has bestowed on us. Then we become grateful for all that He has done for us, because He is the one who gave us all these things. Everything we have is from Him, and we recognize that. We are able to do shukr from the bottom of our hearts once we recognize this. Then, we sincerely want to thank Him and remain grateful to Him. It's natural for people to humble themselves before the one who has done or granted them so many favors. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us everything. Even if somebody does one thing for us, it's natural for us to be humble towards them. And we must remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us everything we have. So how humble should we be before Him? If we see exceptions and we notice people who don't remain humble, even after they enjoy the favors someone grants them, it means that their nature has been corrupted. Since humans were naturally programmed to humble themselves before those who do something for them. When someone does a favor for us, we remember what they did for us. If we are normal, good people, we appreciate it and remember what they did for us at whatever specific time. This is how people normally are. If someone forgets and takes what the other person did for granted, it means that their mind has been corrupted. Their way of thinking is not as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala programmed them to be, because it's been corrupted. So they're going against nature. This is why it's important to recognize the favors of the muhsin, the one who does anything for us. And when we try to count and recognize the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us, we remain humble. We don't even dare to think about being arrogant towards Him. And we don't object to anything He does because of the countless favors He has given us. Whatever He decides, He has the right to decide. If we're able to think about and remember the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us, this is how we benefit from doing that in such important ways. When we are alone, instead of wasting time thinking about things that already happened or worrying about what may happen in the future, we should try to recognize and count the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon us. Think of it this way. What blessings has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given me? And then try to count them. And that will definitely help us be more grateful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it will make us love Him more intensely. And when we think that my Rabb gives me so much, even though I am so disobedient, but He still continues to give me so many blessings that I enjoy, it helps us increase in gratitude. So we start to experience a deeper and more frequent sense of thankfulness and appreciation. This is why Salih alayhi salam asked his people to remember the Ala Allah, the countless favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah had given them. We learn from their example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the disbelievers blessings as well in this dunya, in this near, this temporary life. He grants favors to everyone here, the believers and the disbelievers. And He made the people of Thamud settle in the land and gave them the skills to build palaces and homes in mountains. So Salih alayhi salam wanted them to think about this and be thankful for these great favors, to acknowledge these favors. And He told them, وَلَا تَعْثَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ, and do not spread mischief in the land. What was the evil, the mischief that they were spreading? Being ungrateful and committing shirk was the mischief or the corruption they were spreading. If we think about it, shukr, meaning gratitude, and shirk, which is to associate partners with Allah, come from the same Arabic alphabet. But just changing the letters around slightly makes them the complete opposite of each other. Shukr means to be grateful, to be thankful, and shirk is the exact opposite. It means to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person does not do shukr, meaning if he's not grateful to Allah, he turns and starts to do shirk, which is to give others the importance and worship them as only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the right to be worshipped. If someone is ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they start to turn to others. And if someone turns to shirk, they worship others instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they don't remain grateful to Him then. Salih alayhi salam told his people not to spread mischief in the land. The Quran identifies mischief or fasad as any action or thought that causes corruption. And it disrupts the spiritual, the social, or the moral order. This is divided into outward actions, the zahir that we can see, and the inward states of the mind, the batin, the hidden. Okay? Batin mischief involves spiritual and psychological corruption. Some examples of this are shirk, which is associating partners with Allah, arrogance, hypocrisy, and doubt. Outward or zahir mischief involves actions that harm the community, that harm others around us, and transgress the laws set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the zahir mischief causes visible disruptions to social peace. So we can see this happen around us. It can be in the form of physical violence, oppression, and public immorality. قَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ The arrogant leaders from his nation said, This means that the chiefs from among the people of Salih al-Islam used to do takabbur. They assumed greatness. They were arrogant. They thought they were so great. Why? Because they were granted so many luxuries and they achieved progress and development to a much higher level than anyone else in their time or even before them. Because of the advancements that they made, they became very arrogant, thinking that nobody else could even come close to them. The proud leaders from Salih al-Islam's nation asked, لِلَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا لِمَنْ آمَنَ مِنْهُمْ The oppressed among them who had believed, those who were considered weak. They addressed the weak believers. And something we should remember is that in all times, from among all the nations, the ones to believe first are those who are weak in society, or the poor people. The rich people who live in luxuries and are brought up in comforts are often misguided. This is the reason we shouldn't specifically ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a lot of wealth when we make dua. Instead of doing that, we should ask for blessings that don't distance us from Him. And ask for the ones that draw us closer to Him. A lot of times, wealth becomes such a great test for people. It's a big trial that it ends up robbing them of their faith. Their faith is taken away because of it. This is because they get so caught up in their luxuries and the comforts they have that they forget to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we learned with the mention of each messenger that their mala were the ones to say things to oppose them. The mala may have been people from the elite class. It may have been their chiefs, the trendsetters among them, or the powerful people. They may have been powerful due to an abundance of wealth, or because they had some sort of position of power in society. So the mala refers to all the influential people. So they said to the underprivileged people in society who had believed, أَتَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ صَالِحًا مُرْسَلٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ Do you really believe that Salih is a Rasul from his Rabb? That he's a messenger from his Lord? The Mala asked the oppressed people this question to try and create doubt in their minds. They asked if they were sure that Salih alayhi salam was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them. Even though the influential people were asking the weaker ones this question, the oppressed people were not affected by the things they said. They weren't influenced. Usually, the weaker people are so impressed by whatever the stronger ones do or say, or whatever the well-known people or celebrities say, and they're influenced by their opinion because they admire them. They look up to them. However, the poor, weak people among the people of Thamud were not affected at all by the negative remarks of the affluent ones. Qalu, they replied, Inna bima ursila bihi mu'minun. We do indeed believe in the revelation with which he has been sent. Their reply was very simple. They said, Why not? Of course we believe in the message he has brought. And that message was of Tawheed, to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. No other thought came to their mind. There was no doubt about it. They were sure that Salih alayhi salam was the messenger from their Rabb, and he was sent with the truth. And he taught them about Tawheed. There was no question about it. And we should learn from their example what it's like to be firm in Iman, to believe with certainty, without any doubt whatsoever. People used negative propaganda against the truth back then, and many do it today too. And this will continue happening. But we cannot let the things other people say influence us and start doubting Islam. Astaghfirullah. Some people are actually convinced by the enemies of Islam when they hear them say that Islam promotes terrorism and acts of violence. Astaghfirullah. This is a sign of a very weak iman. But the person who actually has Islamic knowledge and believes with certainty knows that Islam does not allow or promote any negativity like that at all. They're not influenced by whatever anyone randomly starts saying. So the mala try to spread corruption by spreading false information, by questioning the people, trying to make people have doubts about the truth that Salih alayhi salam invited them to. But the weaker people in society were not confused by their questions at all. If we were to try to figure out who the mala of today are, we don't even need to mention specific people. It's basically the media that influences people's mindset, the way people think. When the media is used to constantly spread the wrong information about someone or about a particular group of people repeatedly, others are affected by it and they eventually start to accept it. Even if they think that they can't be influenced, they do eventually accept some of whatever they've been hearing. It's a slow way to change the way people think and brainwash them. This is what the media does many times. But as for the oppressed people, the believers who believed with Salih alayhi salam and responded positively to his invitation to the truth, they made it clear that they had no doubts at all about what Salih alayhi salam told them. They were certain that he was the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they believed in whatever he was sent with. They didn't pick and choose what they wanted to follow and what they didn't believe. They told the mala straight out that they believed in everything that Salih alayhi salam had told them. Subhanallah. They were so wise. They didn't let negative people influence their thinking. Even though the people speaking to them were so powerful, their aqidah was so straight. So they were so sure of their basic beliefs. And they were so focused. So they knew what they were saying. And they firmly believed in what Salih alayhi salam had conveyed to them, the message that he had conveyed to them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be like them and get to their level of iman. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته